Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Y'all can stay here all service if you want. It don't matter. Chip, just walk around you. It's not a big deal. Step over you. Come join them. Praise God. Well, would you tell this man how much you love him? It's an honor to have new people here. Appreciate you coming. I mean it. I hope when you come in, they gave you a little visitor packet. Inside is a card and a pen, if you don't mind. Fill it out here in just a second. If you don't have a visitor card, then we want to get you one. And here's why we do that. We love to call people one time. We don't harass you, but we want to welcome you. We thank you so much for coming. Because, again, you could have passed many churches just to get to this one. And a lot of time people are, they come to say, what in the heck is a cowboy church? You know, do you got to be a cowboy? Do you got to wear a hat? Do you wear boots? Is there any Spurs in here? Just raise your hand if... I tried to get in the rodeo arena in at the Steer Roping National Finals in Mulvane, Kansas a couple weeks ago. We went up there and did church, and I roped, and they wouldn't let me back in because I had spurs on. I said, "Ma'am, this is an arena." It was a tough deal. And you really can't get in the casino area where you have to go get a Coke, a drink. And you notice I said a Coke or some water. They won't let you in with spurs there either. But we welcome people because when they call you, this is a good time to just ask what's going on. What do we believe? And they'll tell you what we believe. We believe the Word. Amen. And then if you have prayer requests, just let them know. We got a great intercessory prayer team that prays for us before we get here, and they're here about 9 o'clock. So ask them about that. So if you've never been to Cowboy Church before, would you allow us just to welcome you right where you're at? Would you just raise your hand? Let us welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for being here. Thanks so much. Honored to have you. Amen. Thanks for coming, everybody. Appreciate you. And again, if you don't have a visitor packet, so you're just getting it. Amen. They missed you. Inside it, though, fill it out because we want to know who you are. And we usually send out different mailers to you to... Oh, yeah, I just said we don't do that. Would you clap? Yeah, right. Yes. Amen. I got you some barbecue. We had fajitas yesterday. Had plenty. All right. Clap your hands for tithes and offerings, please. Glory be to God. Well, I was in my office a second ago, and I was thinking about tithes and offerings, and I began to look up some things and see some things found in Matthew's gospel. So if you have a Bible, I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Now, 16 years ago when we started this church, most everybody knows that the Lord told me not to take a salary at this church. Some of the guys that was helping me start this church were freaked out. They were like, "Wow, how are you going to make it?" And I said, "Well, we'll make it because this church will not be my provider because God is." Amen. And so he's richly blessed us. We have a lot of partners that have been with us for years, for 25 years of ministry, and when we were traveling and still travel. And so, in order to not take a salary, then you have to trust God. Can you say amen to that? And so, I want to just minister just for a second. The Lord told me to begin to minister for about 4 or 5 minutes on finances, because my counseling sessions are more about finances than anything else. And what causes sickness and disease, you can trace it back to people giving and not giving. I mean, you know, you don't get sickness and disease by giving, but man, you can keep it away. God can rebuke that devourer. Say amen to that. And so I got to thinking about a few things. Matthew 6 and 25 says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Now Jesus is talking here. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you'll drink, nor for your body, what you're going to put on. Is life not more than meat and body more than raiment? Behold, verse 26, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet, look at this, your heavenly Father feeds them. I mean, and we can just continue on. I love going down there to verse 33 about seeking the kingdom of God. Kingdom meaning God's ways of doing things here on earth, like heaven. One thing you don't want to do is start worrying about finances. If God takes care of a bird and the flowers and so on, don't you think He'll take care of you? So I want to confess this right before we give in that bucket and in that bucket. I want us all to confess this confession. Confession. You ready? Say out of your mouth, I refuse to worry about anything. To worry about my financial situation. I will not fall into the temptation to fear or have anxiety or any care. I cast my cares over unto the Lord. Because if He takes care of the birds and the flowers, He will certainly take care of me. Now say amen to that. So when you give to the Lord this morning, I want you to give by faith. I'm sowing a seed because God cares for me. That's God's economy, man. If you'll get into it, I'll show you a man and a woman that owe no man but to love Him. Amen. So come give with a big old shout of praise. I'm on choir mode here. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Well, what an honor. Before I get Chip up here, I want to... I'm on the white mic, I believe. I want to tell y'all just real fast. I was going to do this at the end of the service, but I want to get Chip the whole time. Whatever happens is going to happen. Amen. Lauren McAndrews here. They called me, I believe, yesterday and talked about helping people this in Christmas. And I know our church helps, like all the Angel Tree and so on. We help kids. But I was really interested when they told me that some senior adults is needing some help. And they told me about 17 of them, possibly, that some have major needs. I mean, their families don't even come see them. And it upset me. You know, I want to be able to bless people. And so many seniors are alone and isolated, especially this year. It's crazy how a virus that our government turned into a pandemic, which I can probably argue with you about that. You can't even go see people in a hospital. I mean, you have to look at them through a window, you know, at a nursing home and so on. And so there's a program that delivers not just meal, but there's a well check, and it just helps seniors to stay in place in their homes. And, you know, they have pets a lot of times. So adopting a senior during the holiday is basically putting together a basket of parcels, a few things, just whatever is the need. Most, believe it or not, most of them, they tell me, ask for socks, you know, blankets, you know, puzzles, snacks, you know, things like that. And so if you're interested in just being a blessing to some seniors, Lauren, where are you? Lauren, that's Lauren right there. Would you see her after the service and just say, hey? And I'm not talking about, you know, $50. whatever the Lord puts on your heart will bless one of these seniors, and I want to be a part of that. And so I don't know how many, I know this church, so probably we'll do all of them. But I want to bless anybody that's in need this year, as well as some people in our church. Well, Larry and Lana, would y'all stand up, please? Where are y'all? There they are, right there. They're wanting to on November the 26th, on Thanksgiving, if you don't have a place to share Thanksgiving dinner, they are inviting you to their house. At 1 p.m., they're going to serve. There's some flyers about that. You know, and they just want to open their house. And so if you know of anyone, any families that just don't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving, there's a great place to go right there. Amen. Thank y'all very much. All right. Chip Brim, I actually met him. He'll tell you a little bit. He's got cowboy in his blood. He got a brother as a bull rider. We need to get him on the right side, the roping side, because it's not quite as dangerous. But Chip came to a cowboy ministers conference, and Rusty Fells had knew him, and most everybody knows his mama, Billy Brim, who's going to be speaking at our ministers conference this year. And she has Prayer Mountain, I mean, in Missouri. It's amazing, this woman that ministers to several presidents. I mean, he'll probably tell you a little bit about it. He kind of went in football, baseball, and, you know, was with some of them great teams, has some of them big rings, I guess, of winning. You know, when you get a ring in baseball or football or basketball, that means you won something very big. And then you got to start working out, because that thing weighs a lot. My cousin got one playing for San Francisco, and he showed it to me. As a matter of fact, I held it, and that thing was so heavy. But more than him being in baseball and in sports, he's an incredible man of God. And I'm telling you, you're in for a treat. So I want y'all, as we do at our church, we honor. I want y'all to honor Chip Brim as he comes and ministers the gospel of Jesus Christ to us. Amen?
Amen. Hey, I mean it. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Wow, wow, wow. Thank you. Praise God. You may actually be seated. I said that to the men last night who weren't standing as a joke, but it's so good to be here, and especially at this time when, you know, a lot of churches are not having ministers come in, and so I'm thankful for that. But I also am a senior pastor of a church and still travel in Oklahoma. Now, I've been known as Billy's boy. If you Google mom, don't Google her now, but her name's Billy, B-I-L-L-Y-E. And it all started way back when mom used to smuggle in ink to the underground press under the Iron Curtain of the Russian days so that they could print Bibles. She was chased by the KGB 7 different times at high speeds. And so got that Bond, James Bond, that's my mom, right? I just picture her going, no, but there was no gun. But I thank God for her, and she also was part of... and was led to help Brother Hagin start Rhema. And so she was Brother Hagin's editor, really everything, and when they started it. And then she became Lester Summerall and many others, and connected to John G. Lake and others. And just, she's in her late 80s and goes full speed. She owns a place in Israel right on the Sea of Galilee, and... So she brings in people to teach them about Israel and blessing Israel. Amen. How many know that's important? That's why the enemy is fighting this election. One of the reasons. One of the reasons. And so I've been Billy's boy. No matter what I've done or tried to do in my life, I've always been known as Billy's boy, which at one time used to bother me. I remember one time we were playing on ESPN, and I've coached high school, college, and professional. I was with the Astros, the Razorbacks, and different others, and we won a lot of championships. God blessed me, and I'm thankful for that, and I always gave him the glory. One time we were in Hawaii, and I knew that Mom had not been at this particular island or whatever, and we were on ESPN. We were playing the Korean national team, and this guy in batting practice says, "Hey, Broom!" And we had the, you know, our names on the back of our jerseys. And so he's like, "Well, I thought I got a fan. I finally got a fan." And so I told the bat boy to go get a ball, and I'm going to go sign him a ball. And he comes down, and he comes down, and he comes down. And I finally get that ball, and I'm getting ready to sign it. And he said, "Hey, are you Billy's boy?" I went, But I'm really thrilled to be Billy's boy. I'm so thankful. And I've had a really good relationship all my life with Brother Hagin, Oral Roberts. And I've been around them, and I'm so thankful to God for it. I'm so thankful to be here. And Mom has asked me to ask you guys. She has gotten a call from the Trump legal team, Trump and the legal team, to pray for them. They're up against demonic forces like never before, and like he said, probably Satan himself. And so, praise God. We can pray. Amen. And again, Mom has been a part of a lot of presidents and prime ministers and the spiritual advisors. And you know, my route went coaching. And real quick, I'll just, you know, without telling you the whole story, because I got a specific word I want to tell you. When it happened to me before practice, 15 minutes before practice, and I'm seeking God, I hear the Lord say to me, "Now's the time." And I said, "God, you want me to preach? All I know how to do is coach. So if you have a problem with the way I preach, take it up with him. He's the one who asked me to do it." Has anybody been coached in here before? Coaches will push you, man. Coaches, and they do it because they love you. They want you to succeed. And so I said, "Lord, all I can do is coach, and I do it pretty intensely." And he said, "Did I not help you train champions in baseball the last 20 years? And I said, "Yes, Lord, I gave you all the glory." He said, "Then I will help you train champions for me, because I'm coming back for a champion church." Isn't that good? I love that every time I hear it. I'm coming back, not for a second place church. He's not coming back for a, you know, win a few, lose a few church. He's coming back for a champion church. And so, glory to God. Now, through that career of coaching on every level, you get interviewed by, and you know, it just happens, ESPN, whoever it may be, newspapers, television. And I saw this one particular interview that tickled me, because a lot of times they manipulate what they say, what you, they want to hear. You know what I'm talking about? And articles, and I've had articles written, and I didn't say any of that. So the media is a little bit, I mean, anyway, we won't go there. Especially now, don't believe it. It's a lie. But there was an interview, it's back when Tiger Woods was starting out golfing. And he was just breaking every record as a young man. And so they went to the guy who held all the records, Jack Nicklaus, the Golden Bear. And they interviewed Jack about Tiger. And they said, "Jack, what do you think about this kid, what he's doing?" And he said something that just totally blew him out of the water. I mean, they didn't know what to say. And he said, "Well, I'm not familiar with the level he's playing on." And I just kind of laughed, because I saw the guy not know what to say. And so the guy goes, "But you're Jack Nicklaus." That was his comeback. "You're Jack Nicklaus." He goes, "Thanks for reminding me." "Okay, you're welcome. Back to you, Bob." It was so awkward, right? And all of a sudden, something hit inside of me. And I heard the Lord say, "It's time for the church to operate on a level that the world is not familiar." Oh, somebody didn't hear me. I'm going to go over here. I said, the Lord said, "It's time for the church to operate on a level that the world is not familiar with." And that's not just talking about preachers. That's talking about ropers. That's talking about businessmen. That's talking about politician, whoever it may be, but operating on a level that the world is not familiar with. Time to arise and go to the level and operate that God wants us to. Now, knowing that, setting you up, I'm going to get straight to the point. So my mom is Dr. Billy Brim. She's got her doctorate degree in Hebrew. She is fully, you know, scholared in Hebrew. Speaks fluent Hebrew. Has to when you're talking to a lot of the prime ministers and different things. And she's got a lot of really good friends and rabbis over there. And we do too. And we go over there and we do a lot of tours every year. We were over there actually when COVID broke out. But the rabbis came rushing to her because they respect her. Even though there's differences in what we believe, they respect and love her for her love. And they've heard me preach too. They always come with me with David stuff, you know, because the champion thing. Our ministry is called Champions for Christ. And they came to her and rushed to her and said, we must talk to you, her and I. And so they talked to us and they said, your people who you teach, what you teach, have got to know this. You have got to know this information. And we said, yeah, what is it? So we're down there, we're getting ready to write and we're listening to them. And they began to explain this, and they said there are certain words in the Hebrew language that when God says them, they are command words. They're not suggestions. They're from the commander. And because it's only when God says them, so you always have to find out and study to show thyself approved. When you're reading the Bible, always find out who's speaking. That's a good rule. Who's speaking? Is it God? Is it man? Is it who is it? And who they're speaking to. There's three groups of people in the Bible, the Jews, the nations, and the church. We are the church. You should find these things out, and it helps you rightly divide the word. The Bible says if you can rightly divide the word, guess what? You can also wrongly divide the word. And so there's a lot of people wrongly dividing word, taking scriptures out of context, not studying it, don't know who spoke, they don't know what group this is supposed to go to. Therefore, they wrongly divide the word. They get in arguments with each other. This happens all the time. So you've got to know this. And so when there's a group of words that are command words, and when God says them, now watch this, a command word from the commander God, this is coming from straight from Israel. They said it means the difference between life and death when this word is spoken. Now, not when any man says it, so make sure you know when God says it. It's the difference between life and death. So if God says this, it's not that or else you will die. Let me give you the example. What if we were actually in a real war outside these walls and you guys came in with your guns and you're wearing your camo and everything and we're in a real war. Real bullets, real bombs, the whole bit. And a commander comes in, he's flown in, and he's got intel, and we all sit down there, and we've been in war, life and death are outside these walls, and he starts to give these instructions from the commander, and he tells us, and you sit out there, and you go, whatever. I don't know, I'm just going to do my thing. Right? What's probably going to happen to you when you go back out to the war? You're probably going to die. You got a really good high percentage chance of dying because you didn't. Does the commander want you to die? No, he told you that so you could live and win. Are y'all with me? So that's what that word means. The commander is telling, it's life and death, or the enemy can come in and steal, kill, and destroy. So when he would say this to somebody, and we're going to go over in the Bible where he said it, it is not a suggestion, it is command. And it means the difference between life and death. Now, the word that they want us to tell and spread with the Christian family in the world is this. Arise. Everybody say arise.
Arise.
That's the Hebrew word kum. Alright? Kum. Now, it's also the feminine side of the word kumi. Do you remember Talitha kumi when Jesus said to the little girl who was dying? Talitha is a Hebrew word for little lamb, like a little nickname. But kumi means to rise from death to life. It does not mean stand up. Listen to me. All the times where God said it, and there's many times in the Bible where he says, arise. He's not telling them to stand up. It doesn't mean stand up. Okay? So that's why we have to know this. Now, so here is what they said the definition of it means. First things first, isn't God a priority God? The Bible is a priority book. Seek ye first, right? First things first, get yourself to a higher level. Come on now. Are y'all hearing this? When God says to Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. The very next word he says, arise. He's not telling him to stand up. He's saying, Joshua, get yourself to a higher level. Get yourself to a higher level. Everybody's waiting for God to bring him to a higher level. God is saying, you get yourself to a higher level. We should be operating on a level the world is not familiar with. And so you go to a higher level in your faith. You go to a higher level in your walk with God and whatever it may be in your love walk or whatever. But we can all go higher. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to talk about that. But he says, Joshua, arise. And then he gives him the command of what? Be strong and courageous, which means champion. We learned that yesterday. Now, I love this one. How many want to hear God? You want to hear him better? You want to hear him clearer? More than you've ever heard him? He wants you to hear that more than you even raised your hand and said yes to. I remember one time I was talking with Jerry Savelle, and Jesse Duplantis was right next to us talking to Oral Roberts. And it was like when Oral Roberts would come into the room, it was like the principal came into the room. Even Jesse would straighten up and fly right, you know. And we all wanted to kind of hear what he had to say. And Jerry and I are talking, but we're really not talking. We're just kind of pretend talking because we want to hear if Oral had something to say. And Jesse was doing all the talking to Oral. And then all of a sudden, Oral Roberts goes, excuse me, Jesse. And everybody in that room, remember E.F. Hutton? Remember those old, is anybody? And so all of a sudden, Oral goes, excuse me, Jesse. And we all went, boom. And he said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, I'll do that. How many do you want? You know, he just, real detailed conversation with the Lord. I'll do that right away. You want that today? Yes, sir. Okay. Yes, sir. And Jesse leans over to us and he goes, every time I talk to Oral, God interrupts us. And he thought that was really cool. And I thought that was cool that I could even see a higher level that Jesse wanted and others wanted, and I do too. And so I can remember growing up with a mama like that I've had. She could come out of the restroom. Hey, the Lord told me that I needed, what? What are you talking about? Now, I'm exaggerating, but you know what I'm talking about. It could be at dinner. It could be anywhere. And I would go, what's his voice sound like? Is it Charlton Heston? Is it, honey, just seek the Lord. We need to hear him. God, why are we not hearing you more? All right, how about this? Let's go to Ezekiel 3:22. Can we get that up there? If we can. Okay. If you can see this, let's look at it. This is King James. And the hand of the Lord was there upon me, and he said unto me. Now, who's speaking? Come on. The Lord, right, God. And he said what? Arise. Now, and then it always has a comma after he says arise. And that means you go to that place. Now watch this. Watch the Hebrew language. Watch this. Because I've taken many classes over in Jerusalem. They like to put words inside of words to help you see. Here's how they teach. If you can see it, you can be it. Do you remember when God told Abram, step outside your tent and look at the stars? They're very visual. You have to see it. They are taught that way. They have to see things to be to get it. The Hebrew word for light is or. Everybody say or. Come on, say it.
Or.
Some of you are still too cool for school. Say it.
Lord.
I need you to say it because you'll be able to hear it and then see it. Now, one more time, everybody. Or. Okay. Now, see if you can see that word in these other words. Menorah. Y'all got it? Is light in there? Is there light on a menorah? Then the little child can see that. Torah. Come on. Isn't this cool? The Torah, the Word, the light that guides your feet. The Bible, the Word. It's the light. Kum is arise. Hamakum, do you hear it in there? Is the place. Hamakum is the place. When you go on trips to Israel, if you go with us especially, there will be a lot of the Jews ask you, where's your hamakum? You won't know what you're talking about. We have to explain it to you. They're asking you, where's your place? What is that? Your place that you arise with God. Is it a barn? Is it a hayfield? Is it a rodeo arena? I'm trying to relate to where I'm at. Is it a pasture? Is it a stall? I'm in Oklahoma. I'm not that far away. All right. Is it a feed store? What is it? No. But y'all are with me? But yet sometimes we get too busy. We don't even have that time and we don't even have that place. But God says, I need you to arise. The Bible says go from faith to faith to glory. We are to go higher. We are created to go higher. It's a dangerous thing to stay right where you're at. I'm telling you. Champions, when we won that first championship, you ain't seen nothing yet. We got to work way harder because now we got a target on our back. Second one's going to be it's going to be way harder. Right? And then the third one and the fourth one and whatever. We're created to arise. First things first, get yourself to a higher level when God says it. Right? And it's not a suggestion, it's a what? And it means the difference between life and death. So in other words, you choose, somebody say choose. When he made man, he created man and he said choose. He gave man a will. And he will not supersede your will. He does not make everybody get saved. And he gave you a will. He gave the angels a will. And a third of them chose to leave. Right? And so some chose to stay. You have a chooser. And that's a very important thing. And he says, choose life, not death. How many are born again? Raise your hand. Good choice. You are champion choosers. Look at you. You can't choose better than that. And then choose blessings, not cursings. So where we're at right now is a result of what choices we've made. Choices we made to say, choices we made to do in our actions. You're there at your where you're at because of choices. And so, the hand of the Lord was upon me, God, and he said, so we know who spoke, right? What did he say? Arise. What do we know, Hebrew students? What's that mean? Kum. First things first, get yourself to a higher level. So he's telling Ezekiel to get yourself to a higher level, go, and then go forth into the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Isn't that interesting? Why doesn't he tell him now? Ezekiel's got time now. Just tell me now. I got the time. I'm free. Why didn't he tell him now? No, arise. Are y'all getting this? Now that you know, you studied, and you understand this, get yourself to a higher level and then go to this plane and I will there, after you arise, tell you some things. So in other words, you need to see God like this. I got some great things I want to tell you. I got some great things I want to show you. But he wasn't at the place. He wasn't at the level that God could tell him then. Oh, come on. People want to hear from him, but he can't tell you some of the things that he needs to tell you and show you some of the things at the level that you're at. Because he's smarter than that. He know that you would run. He knows your faith level, and you go, I can't do that. Who, me? And feelings of inadequacy would come on you. Low-level devils of who am I? And then that would give a place to the enemy. But yet you're wanting to hear. And he says, arise, then go forth to the plain, and I will there talk with thee. Woo! So, next verse, what happens? 23. Then I arose. So we know, see, that's what the rabbis really made clear to us. There was a place that he went to do this. He got to that place. And then he went forth into the plain, and behold, what was there? The glory of the Lord. There's something about the glorious church and arising. We are the glorious church, and there is a connection between the glory and arising. I'm telling you, church, it's time to arise and shine. Come on. So that this dark world, that I'm telling you, it's our responsibility to arise. The Lord told Brother Hagin back during Watergate, and what we're going through now is a whole lot bigger than Watergate. And he said, I'm not holding, this is what the Lord said to Brother Hagin, I'm not holding Richard Nixon responsible for this. I'm holding the church responsible for this. Because they have the power and they have the authority. I have given it to them. Now, glory to God. We can arise and defeat this thing. We will arise and defeat this thing. Don't you dare give up on this. Then I arose and went for the place. And there the glory of the Lord stood there as the glory which I saw by the river Shabar. And I fell on my face. God, the glory. How many want the glory of God like never before? How do we get it? Arise. Arise. Amen. Are y'all okay? Is there a ball game on you need to go see or something? Now, all right, here we go. Y'all want to learn some more? So, God, we're in pretty good company, and I want to know where it says to us to arise. I want to see if it's in the Word for us to arise. Because he told Jacob, David, Elijah, Jeremiah, and we've seen Ezekiel and Joshua. But where does he tell us to arise? Now, before I get there, I want to tell you how the Lord said to me about arising. Let's first go to 2 Timothy 3:16, if you would, in the Amplified. The King James uses the word inspiration. I love the word inspiration. Look at me. I'm a coach. And players need to be inspired. Whenever I see an interview with a coach and they say, well, if they don't get up for this game, everybody needs inspiration. All scripture, say all. So what part of all is all? I mean, come on. Every word is God-breathed. It's a divine inspiration. The King James says inspiration. A lot of churches, we need inspiration, right? You just do, daily. And so every word is God, not only inspiration, it's God-breathed. Now, Rick Renner, how many's heard of him? Raise your hand. Greek scholar. He's a Greek spirit-filled scholar. He says that means actually God breathed in. If you analyze the Bible, every word is his DNA. Every word is actually him. So when you open it up and it goes in you, his breath and his DNA, his molecules, his very being goes inside of you. Are y'all with me? So where is this powerful book? Is it on your bookshelf? Is it in the back of your truck? Where is it? Is it on the coffee table gathering dust? And it's actually God's breath waiting to go inside you. And if they analyzed it, there he is. And Rick Renner said it like this. If you blew up a balloon and you tied it up and your breath gave that balloon shape. And if they analyzed the inside of that balloon, they would find out that a part of you is in this balloon. And then the Lord showed it to me. He said, my words, you're the balloon. My words go in you. And when my words go in you, they take you higher. Come on. But we're not putting the words in it to get the balloon. Come on, us to go higher. I preached holiness. The Lord's told me to start preaching on holiness. That ain't a very popular word in the church lately. Back in the day when I was little, drug to church, that's all it was. And I said, Mom, I'm supposed to preach it to a generation that, you know, that ain't kind of the popular thing. She said, Chip, you know what holiness is? One word. Preach it to them like this. It means separation. Separation. A separated group. Separate. She said, when you separate from something, you must separate to something. Because if you're not separated and latched to something, then you're in no man's land. And that's where the devil could have his place to get you. When people are trying to get off of what they're getting off of, whether it's an addiction or whatever, or not living the way they're living, and they unlatch, but they don't separate to God. When God took them out of Egypt, He separated them, and the first generation latched on to God, but the next generation didn't, and they were in no man's land, and they never reached the promised land. You have to latch on to God. And so when you get that word in you, you begin to separate. And you begin to separate from the world. And we arise to a higher level that the world is not familiar with. Where is this coming from? How is this going on? That's signs, wonders, and miracles. That should be every day. Should be in Walmart, the feed store, wherever you go. Amen. So let's read this. And all scriptures God breathed, given by divine inspiration and profitable for instruction, conviction of sin, for correction, restoration, for training in righteousness. We need training, learning to live in conformity to God's will, both publicly and privately, behaving honorably in personal integrity and moral courage. Praise God. Now, where does He tell us to arise? Now, Isaiah 60, verse 1. If you want to turn there, you can, but watch this. I'm going to explain to you. It says, arise and shine. But first of all, you're going, that's Old Testament. Now watch this. You can't just throw out Old Testament, because there's three groups of people in the Bible. And there's prophetic words and things that are spoken for us. Now I'm going to prove to you that this is for us in the Old Testament through this prophecy in Isaiah. It says, arise and shine. First thing we got to know in study is who's speaking. Y'all are just quoting, arise and shine. Well, who said it? And who's he speaking to? Well, we got to find out. Chapters and verses weren't a part of the original text when the Bible was written. They were added in later for man's sake. So let's back up a little bit. We're going to back up a little bit to the next verse preceding Isaiah 60, verse 1, and that's Isaiah 59, 21. All right? So, can you give that to me in King James? Yeah, 59, thank you. As for me, this is my covenant with them. All right, who's them? Saith the Lord. Who is he in covenant with? There's three groups of people in the Bible: the Jews, the nations, and the church. Of the three, he's in covenant with two. The Jews. Is that, guys, can y'all not tell in your lifetime that he's in covenant with Israel? Yes. Everybody's trying to wipe this little nation that's the size of New Jersey and push them into the sea, and they can't.
That's right. That's right.
And they know it. They know it. God is on their dodgeball team. That's how you act. I mean, come on. So, David knew it when he was fighting Goliath, that he wasn't looking at him measured to him. He was looking at him measured to him. That gives you a whole different perspective. And so, this is my covenant with them. So, this is parallel meaning. I've went to several ministers, if this is true, to back it up before I preach it, and absolutely all of them said yes. This is parallel meaning. No, please stay there. This is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. He's talking to Israel at the time, but he ends this with forever. Do y'all see that? Forever? And this is for 2020, what we've been going through, and everybody he's in covenant with. So this is a parallel thing here that we take. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed. Seed is your children's children, children's children, children. Saith the Lord, from henceforth and
forever.
Everybody.
Forever.
Now, I preached in a church in Perth, Australia. Church is about 5,000 people. And I got to this place and I said, forever! Everybody say it! 5,000 Australians. At the same time, can you imagine how they said it? Forever! It was the coolest thing I ever heard. In unison, 5,000 Australians saying, forever! And so I said, say it again! Why? Because I just wanted to hear it. And I made him do it like 5 times. And then I said, say it like me, forever! And they held their nose, a lot of them didn't go, forever! How long? Now, who is this for? Everybody he's in covenant with. And the very next word is, go to King James 60 verse 1. That's the very next verse. Arise! Arise! Now that you're Hebrew students, what do we know that means when God says it? We know God is speaking here, not man. When man says it to man, it just means to get up. But not when God says it. It is a command word, not a suggestion. And it comes from the commander, and it means get yourself to a higher level. Go up, get that word in you, get that faith in you, get my DNA in you. I will help you arise. Pressure's off, you just get in there. Come on, somebody. Can't you see why the devil doesn't want you to arise? Then you start separating from all this other junk. Because your spirit man starts dominating your body and your mind and your flesh. Here's what you got to know about all these addictions and stuff. Mama. Y'all can call her mama. She'll want you to call her mama. Call her mama when you see her. She'll adopt you right off the bat. And she'll grab your little ear if you're wrong. She said, now, all you men now, here's what mama will do. She'll probably do it there. How many can see me? Raise your hand. Raise your hand real high if you can see me. Were you not here yesterday? She said, according to the word, the Bible says we are a spirit, a speaking spirit that has a soul. Right? Your soul forgot. That lives in a body. Three parts. Are y'all with me? Three parts. We have a body or a house or a temple. This is it. So y'all are actually only seeing my house. We can do all kinds of things to this house. We can add on. Sometimes roofs leave. Sometimes we paint the house and paint the roofs and all kinds of things we can do to the house. But y'all only see me in my house. I'm looking through these windows, and I put these on here. It's winter, so I just double pane my windows. But the real me inside is in here. So if I were to go to heaven now, and my body would go down, and y'all would still be here, what if that happened? Y'all would go, oh, God, no. No, I'd be in a way better place. To live is Christ, to die is gain. I'd be way better off than y'all. That's why Paul kept saying that. And y'all would see the body just lay there. And y'all would still be looking at the body. But where would I be? Where? Some of you aren't. You know, I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know what you do when you leave here. I would be in heaven. Chest bumping Jesus. I'm just going through. It's a sports thing. I'm going to find my dad. I'm going to chest bump him. We're going to have a good time. But meanwhile, y'all be looking at what? A body. A house. Now, so you have a soul. So you're three parts. A soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion. Your body, your flesh. That's why David said in Psalm 103, forget not these benefits. No, he said before that. What did he say? Bless the Lord, oh my soul. This church knows the oldies. And all in me, bless his holy name. Now, what was he actually saying? Don't just think of it as a song, but as a psalm. He's saying, bless the Lord's soul. He was telling his soul, who was trying not to, or thinking about something else, to bless the Lord. And everything else that's within me. Now he's talking to his flesh. And by the way, flesh and soul, don't forget that he saved you, and don't forget that he healed you of all your sicknesses. Don't forget that, come on now, he's renewed my youth as the eagles. And he goes on to tell them what not to forget. Now here's what the Lord said. Once you understand that you're a spirit that has a soul and a body, whatever you feed of the three, whichever of the three you feed the most will dominate the other two. That right there will help you. What is dominating you? If you're being dominated, your soul, with the news and the lies of the meat over the Bible is his very DNA, his very breath. And what does it do? It inspires you. It corrects you. It encourages you. And you go higher. And you begin to separate. Arise! Arise! Amen. That's in the Bible. That's cool. We got to go back to one. Don't go to the next verse till I say click. I've got an invisible clicker. Don't make me come back there. I'm joking. Arise. No. Go back to King James if you can. Give it to me in the first. No. This is really cool. I want y'all to see this. Are y'all okay? I'm just giving you some Hebrew lessons here. But doesn't it really help you? You know, study to show thyself approved, rightly dividing the word. All right? Can you get that in the King James 60 verse 1? She's working on it. Oh, is that one you got to type out? Oh, no. I'm sorry about that. I'll just read it to you real quick. I didn't know she had to type it out. I got it on my iPad. Let me finish this game of solitaire real quick. I'm almost winning. I'm not really doing that, by the way. Okay. Arise, this is the King James, and shine. Now there's a comma. And this is God to everybody who's in covenant with, and then you're going to shine. You understand that? When you arise, you're going to shine. That's just a fact. For thy light is come. Oh, is light important right now? How many know the Bible says darkness cannot comprehend the light? It can't. I mean, it just can't. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. How many know that's happening? As a matter of fact, it's being exposed. And gross darkness, the people. So don't blame the people. They're under gross darkness. Don't sit there and get off on them. That's what the enemy wants you to do. Yeah, but they're terrible. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. We're to love each other. God loves Joe Biden. God loves Democrats. God loves everybody. But there's gross darkness that's covering their eyes. They don't know. But somebody's got to shine. God needs his people to shine. Amen. And then that darkness will be... Come on, so let's read it. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee. And he said one time to me, upon who? And I said, me. He said, not necessarily. and shall rise upon thee. Lord, I have a covenant with thee. He said, upon those who arise. We had a Holy Ghost meeting in New York City. Get a rope. Man, did we have signs, wonders, and miracles. And this church wanted to really bless me, so that they got reservations to this restaurant cloth table, and the who's who went in there, you know. And he had to have 3 months reservation. And we just come out of a Holy Ghost meeting, me and a couple other ministers. They had no idea the light's about to come in that dark place. We went in there, we're just having a good old time, man. And man, this is fancy stuff. And all of a sudden, a lady came over. And she said, I don't know who y'all are, but the glory of the Lord is all upon you. She goes to her knees. True story. Other people came in and did the same thing and just began to worship God. And the usher, all the waitresses, they didn't know what to do. And we just stood up and joined in with them. That's the way it's supposed to be. That should be the normal. But that's not going to happen until we get our command army of the Lord. It's not just a cute little song that kids sing. We are in the army of the Lord. Amen? It's time to arise. And it's time to shine. In Walmart on aisle 9. Bom, 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 da-da-dum, da-da-dum. All right, you understand what I'm talking about? All right. Now, let's just say you're one of these people who get ready to give that to me in the Amplified when I say click. Isaiah 60 verse 1. Don't give it to me in the Amplified when I say that. You're one of these people, well, I don't know Billy Brim. I don't know you, and I don't know if you're telling the truth. Okay, that's all right. I still want to reach you. I want to try to help you, to prove to you that this is the truth. How do I know you spoke to... How do I know this? Well, you can study it out and find it out, and I challenge you to do that. But if it does mean stand up and it doesn't mean everything I said, then the translations will say that too. And the only translation that got really close to the true meaning of it is the Amplified. They got very close. Now, when the Amplified puts it in brackets, they'll show you that they're trying to explain something. So let's look at it. Click. This is Isaiah 60 verse 1, Amplified. Arise. There's the bracket. Right? Arise is capitalized, right? It is a command from God. From spiritual depression to a new life, shine, be radiant with the glory of the Lord. I think that, is that the new Amplified? Do you know what Amplified that is? Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you, rise to a new life. See, that doesn't mean stand up. That means to arise to a new life. Amen? The God life in you, the Word in you. We're commanded to arise. Now, if you're still that guy who doesn't know, the only one in the Bible who said no to God when he arrived, only one. So if you're going to be the person who says, that was pretty entertaining, way to go, Chip, you know, hey, I'll look up your mom, whatever, but I still got my life and I'm going to do this. And you're going to be the one who doesn't arise. It's just going to be your choice. God's not going to choose that for you. You're going to choose not to arise. You thought it was a good message, but whatever. Your poster child, your poster boy, your example for the rest of your life is going to be Jonah. Because Jonah is the only one who did not do it. All right? Now, let's go to Jonah verse 1. Jonah has not been taught correctly to the children. All of these years to our seed. To you, when you were a child in vacation Bible school, you were not taught Jonah correctly. Because we didn't know the definitions and the meanings of these words. He was pre-warned. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of whatever his dad's name is, not important. Saying, what does it say? Whoa, 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 whoa. Now, when you're a Hebrew student, that was the answer to everything. God didn't want him to go through what he went through. But he gives him that command, right? And it's a command to go higher. Why? Because I'm going to do things for you. I'm going to open up doors. I'm going to give you a message. I'm going to do this. But feelings of inadequacy came on him and saying, arise, comma, then go to Nineveh. Don't go to Nineveh now. That would be terrible. Arise. That great city, they cry against it, for their wickedness has come before me. Click. So he's been given the command. But Jonah rose to flee into Tarshish from the presence. He ran. So there's people right now running from the Lord. I've done it for years. My dad did it. Running from the Lord. I don't have time. I can't. Who am I? Watch me. Listen to me. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? How could God do anything with me? Who am I? Who am I? When God is going to do everything and open up the doors, when God will provide everything that you need, but we still listen to low-level devils, who am I? And they'll kill you. That's what took my dad at 49 years old. Took him too early. And he would try to pray to God, and all the time he'd say, who am I? Billy's the preacher. I've never been to Bible school. I'm a pipe fitter. I'm a welder. How can I do anything? Who am I? I'm just little old me. You got to know who you are in Christ. Are you with me? Feelings of inadequacy, low-level devils. And he ran. Where did he go? We know the story. I preach in Perth, I told you. There's a museum there. And it's cool. They took me to it. And there's a booth and it says, The Real Live Jonah. And they have pictures of this guy who got swallowed by a whale for 2 days. And there's pictures of him before and after. And I said, well, why do they call it the real live Jonah? What's the other one? Right? Well, it's for the kids. Vacation Bible school, I guess. I don't know. But they said this actually happened. Now, so Jonah gets in this whale in this situation. And we know he's in a different place. Let's say the whale is a stage. It's way bigger. But we know he's in a different place than he was the first day, than he was the second or third day, because it said he began to get wrapped up in seaweed. So he's traveling down this whale. We know what's happening to him. He's going to exit this whale one way. Teach this to your kids. Or the other. That's a terrible way to go. Think about that. How'd your dad die? Oh, Lord. Well, he fertilized the ocean. And it's getting smellier and smellier. He's up a creek without a paddle. Do I need to give any more puns? He's up, right. And it's getting worse. Was that God's plan? Did God want him to go through that to teach him a lesson? It was his choice. What did God tell him in the beginning? Same thing he told Joshua. Didn't he? Come on, y'all just saw it. You would have rose right there. You would have separated and you would have, and I would have done this and we'd have, boom, gone our way. And so, thank God, he does something. So go to Jonah chapter 2, verse, I think it's 9. He has to do something. That's the way it is with God. You move, he moves. But you got to move. Jonah's got to move. Some of you are waiting on God to move. He doesn't move out of turn. He's moved by faith. And he gave you a will to choose to move. And if you move, he will definitely, most certainly move. Not waiting on you to move. He's waiting on you to move. All right. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. Woo! Think about that. He's up to his neck in this beep, right? He's becoming beep. And in the middle of this, are we in the middle of stuff? It feels like we're in a bunch of beep, 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 beep. Somebody listening to this on tape goes, what? They beeped him out. God, this beepity beep beep is beeping. It's just full of beep. But anyway, it's what it feels like. in the midst of that, he gives the sacrifice of praise. Paul and Silas in prison could have cussed and cried out to God, but they gave the sacrifice of praise. That's when you shine. Amen? That's when you separate. And that allows the covenant God to do his part in your life. And he spits him out. Ah! Boom. And before he could even go, puh. Oh, this is good Texas stuff right here. Y'all are going to really like this. All right. Oh, I got to get it right. I got to get it right. Oh, what's 10? All right. And the Lord spoke to the fish and he vomited Jonah. Some of y'all need to be vomited out. America needs vomited out. Are y'all with me? Okay. Click. Now the word came unto Jonah the second time saying, let me give you the Texas translation. I done told you once, boy. Are y'all with me? Are y'all not reading this? I'm going to tell you what I told you that wouldn't have got you there in the first place. I had a plan for you all along and it wasn't full of beep. Are y'all seeing this? Now I'm going to tell you again. Okay, this time I'm taking notes. What is it? Word came to the Lord a second time. Go into the end of... Now the word came unto the Lord Jesus the second time. Oh no, what is that? You can't see. What? I don't know what translation that is. You better go back to the King James. Yeah, it says arise. Yeah, you got to see that. We got to fix your eyes on that. What translation was that? Let me see. Okay, here it is. This is, oh no, that's Amplified. Hold on just a second. Talk amongst yourselves. If you got King James, put it in there. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. This is King James. Saying, arise. What does that mean? Come. Then go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I, what? Bid thee. You know what the Amplified says? That I tell you. He hadn't told him yet. Why? Because he hasn't rose yet. God has got great things he wants to tell you. God has got great things he wants to show you. Are y'all with me? But if he tells you now, at the level that you're at now, guess what a lot of you are going to do? Just like what Jonah did. Because your faith level is not there. Now, I'm passionate about this because of my dad's situation. I was mad at God. 49 years old. And I had to go to my dad's funeral. And we believe in faith. And we believe in God and all of this. And I just graduated college. Dad and I were really close sports-wise. And he had to quit sports early in his life and college and work and support a family. And so I said, well, I'll be a coach and you can coach with me. And we had this whole plan. And then he's gone. So we're at the funeral. And the only funeral that we know of that Brother Hagin did, Kenneth E. Hagin, the only one. And he said he was supposed to do it. So he did it. We're sitting over here. We're on the resections. And you got to remember, this thing's full of Ramanites. Y'all know what I'm talking about? People who went to Rama. Yes. Because Brother Hagin, and then Mom worked there. Mom's sitting on the end. I'm sitting next to her, my brother. The bull rider, sister. And Brother Hagin's up there and he's doing the funeral. And then all of a sudden the anointing comes on him and he walks over to the other end of the stage and he just starts preaching, finishing your race with twiddling his thumbs like he did if y'all know him. And he's just preaching. Meanwhile, I feel like I can't breathe and I feel like I'm getting sick. I don't know what it is, but it's a heavy feverish type thing come on me and I can't handle it. And I thought I was sick. So I elbowed Mom and I said, Mom. And she goes, shh.
because she was listening to what he was saying. Now that's a puller right there. Did y'all know that rain doesn't fall? It's pulled by gravity. But yet the church wants the latter rain. Well, we need to learn how to pull. Don't come into the house of God just expecting it to fall on you. Pull. I'm getting something today. I'm not going to be the same when I walk out these doors.
Amen.
Come on, God, speak to me.
Amen.
It could be one word. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
That's how champions are, dude. When we're in the locker rooms before a World Series game and all that, they're not just getting up and going to the restroom and then everybody watch them go to the restroom. I'm explaining church. Chip, you're a little harsh. That could have been your word that changed your life because we were out of focus. Pull. Pull. Focus every word. I don't care what my mind and my stomach and my hunger and time it is and fantasy team. God's given me something. You ever watch Brother Cooper? My mom's a professional puller. Y'all with me?
Yeah.
We're going to the front. Less distractions.
Amen.
More anointing.
Amen. Amen.
Just giving you that was free. Now, so mom's pulling. She goes, shh. I get shushed. I think I'm going to die. I can't even breathe. And then I know what it is. It was that he had a word from the Lord for me. Now, you got to understand something. I never wanted a word. I'm one of these guys that never wanted my mail read. I don't want a word. I have been raised up where Oral Roberts and Brother Hagin and Kenneth Copeland would go, I got a word for Chipper. And you'd see the doors go boom, 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 boom. I'm out of there. I don't want no word. Why? Because I ain't arising. Come on, I'm Jonah. Are y'all with me? I don't want no word. He may say, go to Nineveh. He may say, go to Ramah. He may say, go next door. And I was Jonah, and Dad was too. And we ran. We love God. We're in heaven. We're on the roll. Good enough. It's a dangerous place not to arise. The devil can get you. And he got my dad. Not God. It's all proven in this funeral. Y'all ready? So I know now that it's a word for me. I'm sitting here. And so I thought, Mom would even cry on times of the past where Dad and I wouldn't show up for the word and go, why didn't you get the word? God had something for you. So I'm really thinking Mom's going to go, oh my God, my little baby. I'm the baby of four. My baby wants his first word. I thought she would say that. Right? And so I elbow her and I go, Mom, he's got a word for me. Brother Higgins got a word for me. I know it. And she goes, shh. I get shushed again. She goes, I think he's got a word for me. And I'm like, you're going to steal my word. I'm not real. I don't know anything. And she's going to steal my word. So I did this. If you don't believe me, ask my brother or my family or anybody who was at that funeral because they all watched me. I stood up to tell this man because he won't look this way. If he would look this way, he would see that there's a light beam on me and angels are going, him, not her, him. She really wants one. Give her one later. But this is for him. But he won't turn and look. So I stood up to tell him he's missing God. In front of all these Rhema people. Now, I get up. My brother grabs me and says, get down. You sit down. No, I can't breathe. When you're dying, you don't care. Are y'all with me? When you can't breathe, you don't care. That's Brother Hagin. My God, we're doing this at my dad's funeral. I have since told this story at churches where now their pastors who were the Rhema students out in the congregation. They said, we saw that. I said, what did y'all do? They said, pass the word around. There's a demon in Chip. Cast it out of him. So everybody's casting the demons out of me. Are y'all, this is crazy. Mom's still waiting on her word. My dad's body, who he's not there. Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Come on. This, there is no exaggeration to what I'm telling you. Finally, Terry wins and wrestles me down, and I'm out of energy anyway. I can't breathe. I'm just going to die. Nobody cares. Here it comes. Y'all ready? Here it comes. We got it on cassette for whatever reason. Somebody pushed a cassette recorder. No. Before he went into tongues, he started going, Has anybody ever heard him do that? He couldn't talk, his tongue like swelled up. Mom's thinking, here comes my word. And then finally it broke forth into tongues. He turns around, doesn't face us, and he has a conversation with God in tongues. And you can see, you could hear that it was questions and answers. And then at the very end, he goes into English and he says, Lord, you want me to tell him this now? And the Lord said, yeah, you better tell him now. There's no telling what he might do. Isn't this kind of funny? With all who was watching. And he goes, I got a word from the Lord for Chipper. And I wanted to go, told you, Mom, but I didn't. And I stood up and he walked down the steps just like this. And I'd known Brother Hagin's voice since I was 5 years old. He had that Texas, you know, drawl. But when he began to speak that word, I no longer heard his voice. And I heard the voice of the Lord speak to a young man who just lost his daddy. And the Lord said, son, your father had a race that was never finished. And he said, because of feelings of inadequacy, low-level devils came into his life and lied to him. And he accepted that lie, who am I? And he ran just like Jonah ran. And he didn't arise. That happened at my dad's funeral. And he said, now you have the choice. Come on, look at me. I'm talking to you. You have the choice. You choose. I gave you a will. You choose to either run and let the devil have his way. The Bible says neither give him place. Don't give him place. And even though my dad was a good Christian man and he's in heaven, he gave him place. And I had the opportunity to give him place. But he said the anointing that was on him is now on you. And all of a sudden I could breathe. The transition happened. I believe a lot of transitions of races that weren't finished from your parents to your grandparents. And that's why the great cloud of witnesses are cheering, because you can finish their race. Come on. And the Lord said through Brother Hagin, you finish his race and finish your race. And I thought, my God, everybody else has one. I got to do two. And the Lord got on to me and he said, if I gave you a million with the Holy Spirit, you could do it. But the great cloud of witnesses, Dad can still get, he can still get rewards for it. Amen? But that's not the point. I had a choice. I had a choice. Everybody in here, close your eyes, bow your head. Brother Chip, what you were talking about your dad, that same thing. I'm dealing with the same thing. Who am I? Feelings of inadequacy. Who am I? I haven't arose. I just haven't. I haven't separated.
I want to do more for God. I know, but I keep hearing this and I keep sensing this. If that's you, raise your hand. Nobody's looking. Nobody's looking. Hands all over. Glory to God. But you know what? God doesn't want you to die early. He wants you to live strong. He wants you to shine. Because there's people in darkness who need God. And He's going to do it through you. And at these times. And if you want that broken off of you, I want you to take a step of faith and come up to the altar. If you raised your hand, or even if you didn't raise your hand, but you're the same boat that Dad was in. And maybe you're just like Dad, and I'm there. Come up here, get set free right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Feelings of inadequacy. Low-level devils. Praise God. Now, I'm going to teach y'all something before I lay hands on you. When I went to college, played football, I partied, I was like Corey, Pastor Corey, and I got away. And that's right after Dad had, or before, right between actually. And fear came on me. I never had fear on me. I wasn't afraid of anything. And it was heavy. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You're up here because you're dealing with a little bit of it. And if it can, it'll get you in your room and never let you, you don't want to get out of there. You know what I'm talking about? Depression. Same ones that came on Dad were trying to come on me. I called Mom and I said, Mom, what do I do? She said, Chip, you're wearing a ball hat, aren't you? Ball cap. I always did. She said, take that off and write this verse on that underneath your deal. God's not giving me the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. She said, now you say that. And I said, yes, ma'am. Okay, call me back. All right. So that thing would come in and out. And when it came, I took my hat off. God's not giving me the spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. Mama always said this, you don't have whatsoever you thinketh. The Bible says you have whatsoever you sayeth. You've got to speak it, Chip. It's got to come out of your mouth. So I said it and put my hat back on. Didn't work. So I called her up and said, Mom, didn't work. What do you mean it didn't work? Charles can't bring the word of God works every time. Mom, it didn't work. Well, what did you do? I took my hat off and I read it just like you told me to do. Well, she said, how many times did you read it? And I said, well, once. You just said, read it. She said, Chip, if you got to read it again, read it again. Bye. She was real busy. Bless his heart, but his dumb head. So guess what happened when the next attack come? I read it and then read it again. I'm a real detailed person. I need details. Well, it didn't work. So I called her up again. I said, I read it again. And it didn't work. She said, honey, darling, the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Fear has come on you like a grip, and it's a claw. Whenever it got on you, you allowed it to get in. We don't care when it was. Don't worry about that and focus on that. But it got in there, and it just dug its claws in there. But the Word of God will loosen that. But she says, you got to say it over and over and over and over until how many times it takes. And so she knew that I loved to set records. I got a lot of records when I was in high school. If you go to my high school, I got a lot of baseball, football records. Some have been broken. College, some records. I always looked at the records. I was goal-oriented. What are the records? She said, go for the record. And I said, what's the record? Who's got it? Smith Wigglesworth? I said, who's got it? Oral Roberts? Billy Graham? Who's got it? She goes, honey, there's no record. I'm making this up. I know how you click. I know how you tick. But let's just say there's a record in heaven. There's a board. There it is. I said, what is it? She goes, I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to lie. I'm not, you know, I'm just going to give you one. It's 100, okay? It's 100. I will have 101 next time I talk to you. Bye-bye. Now, she knew how to get me, right? But what it was is how many it takes to loosen that and get set free of. Are y'all with me? We stop too quick. And so, God's not giving me spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. One. God's not giving me the spirit of fear. two. God's on me. I'm counting. Three. When I get up to about 50, I'm feeling really good. Are y'all with me? I could actually quit, but there's a record involved here. Are y'all with me? So I get to 101 and the thing is gone. Now I call Mom and I said, Mom, it worked. Well, of course it works. God's word works every time. She says people quit, they don't get over the log. They quit too soon. And she goes, here's some other news for you. It's going to try to come back, latch on to you. I go, well, great. Here I get my victory, and that's the news I get. Well, big deal, Chip. It's just round two. Ring the bell and go at it and get the record for round two. What's that? I don't know, honey, what the record is. Just speak how long it takes to do it until it's gone. Yes, ma'am. So that little low-level devil of fear, sure enough, that sucker shows right back up. Can you believe that? How dare him? Brother Hagin has a book on how to keep your healing. Most people get their initial healing, they lose it in the counterattacks. What do you do? What do I do? Start speaking. Speaking what? The word. God didn't give me the spirit of fear. I don't need to do the cap. I did it 101 times yesterday. Are y'all with me? My spirit's growing a little bit. He's dominant. God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I've got sound mind. God gave me sound mind. I don't have fear. And God called it a spirit. I don't receive that spirit. I said it, and I felt better. And then the next day, here it tried to come again, and it only took like 20 times. And the next day, it only took like 10 times. And the next day, and I've never had fear since. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, fear get off of him. Yeah. Yay. Lord, that his eyes be enlightened, that he may know the hope of his calling. Receive it. Just receive it. Y'all have to receive it. Y'all get to receive it. You don't have to. You get to. Receive it, Jason. Receive it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Forgiven and blessed and free. Free. Free from fear. Free from fear. Arise, my child. Arise. You know, arising is little bitty things. It's thanking God. It's praising God. That's arising as well. Oh, kashatara. Trusting God is arising. Woo! There it went right there. I sensed that. My God. Kiara mahaha diara bahaha. Woo! Dara ki. Thank you, Lord. Trusting Him. Seeking Him. Spending time with Him. Get the word in you. Arising in you. Separating. Somebody say separate. 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 When you separate from something, you separate to something. You latch on. Don't be the Christian. Okay, now I got to stop for a second. Don't be that Christian that's going, man, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. Man, I hope Trump did, and I hope that. No, you're not latched. You're floating around in no man's land. Latch on to God. Latch on to the covenant. It's God's will that Israel be blessed.
Right. Yes.
And it's God's will that babies don't be murdered.
Right.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
That's God's will. Well, we're in covenant with Him. Latch on to that. God's doing something.
Yes.
He's not just standing by idle. He's doing something. Amen. Don't be one of these Christians in no man's land. Yeah, I don't know. I hope. Uh-uh. Not us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Set free. Woo! Free from fear. Free from fear. Free from fear. Free from fear. Since you were a little, I don't care how long it's been. That spirit's trying to speak. You can't stay on her.
That's right.
You can't. You can't, because the word of God and we agree together. Are you in agreement with me? In Jesus' name. Say, I'm free.
I'm free.
Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, God. That's one of the greatest things a believer can say is, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. Thank God Almighty. I'm free. Woo. Somebody say, I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free in Jesus' name. I agree with you. Just by laying on the hands, I agree with you. You guys came up. You didn't have to get out of your seats and come up here, but you did. And God is faithful because you're faithful. Because of that agreement, it's happening. Glory to God. And you will arise. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. For my brothers and sisters in Texas, Lord, Yay! 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 Fear, get off of him now. Receive your healing. Woo! Glory to God. Stronger, faster. Yay!
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, if you let me, the Lord says. Now, he's going to say something to you that I don't know, that he knows. You were a strong person in your day, in your youth. But the Lord says, if you will let me, I will make you stronger than that. And I'll make you faster and stronger than that, tougher than that for me. Yes. And you know strong and tough. And we just, Lord, we just say, I receive that. Say, I receive it.
I receive
it. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for my sister. Thank you, Lord, that she's healed and whole. Thank you, Lord, that she's, her mind is, that fear is off of her in Jesus' name. She's going higher. She's going higher. Devil, you can't have her. You can't have him. You can't have them. You can't have her. They're God's property. Ha, ha, ha. They're balloons that are going higher. They're balloons that are not just going to be floating around down here. They're going to go higher in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for your touch on him in Jesus' name. Woo, glory to God. Hey, 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 hey. Woo, it's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. And it's going to be a new way. You don't even know the way. He knows the way. Because he is the way, the truth, and the life. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Ah, fear, get off of her in Jesus' name. Fear, get off of her in Jesus. Ah, kasatorebeke. Siaramoho de neke. Yay, 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 yay. Higher, higher, higher. Lot of time. Lot of time to go higher and higher. Faster and faster, too. Kohorebeke siaramaka. Woo! Yay! All the way, all the way, all the way, all the way. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, God. Glory to God. Higher and further. Glory to God. From glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Glory to glory to glory to glory. Faith to faith to faith to faith. Medical science may call it a miracle, but it, to me, it's nothing. Thank you, Rabbi. You believe it and you speak it. You receive it. It's already been done for you right there. Whole in Jesus' name. From the top of his head, the soles of his feet. This will glorify God. This will glorify God. This is glorifying God. This testimony is glorifying God. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody just reach out and join in. Don't just sit there as a spectator. Glory to God. Reach out. Reach out and just praise God. Just praise God. Just praise Him. This is the time to praise Him. Because many people's lives are changing. Many people's lives are changing. And it may not even look like it. It may not even feel like it. But it doesn't matter. You guys took a step of faith. And you came up here. And God is honoring that step of faith. God is honoring it. He's honoring it. He's honoring it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory to you, Father. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Glory. Be healed and whole. Be set free. Free, free, free from the enemy's grip in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I plead the blood of Jesus over her. From the top of her head, her soul, her spirit, her mind, her body. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Woo! Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We got one more. Got a late straggler. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for Roger. Roger, no more Dodger. Amen. Lord, Roger's a great man. I can already sense that by the Spirit. Thank you. Yeah, he's a thankful one. The Lord says you're a thankful one. And he loves that heart about you. And he's going to do something. He's doing something. He's imparting into you. And this had to happen, Roger.
Yes.
this particular day and this transferring of anointing, and the same anointing is now on you to run strong and long and to fulfill higher and further all that you desired. Oh, glory. Only God. His thoughts and His ways are higher than ours, people. And it's happening to Roger right now. Woo! Just receive it, brother. Just receive it. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for my brother in Jesus' name. And all of his service, Lord. But thank you for his heart. And he's doing great things for the body. Fear, get off of him in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for my sister. Thank you, Lord. Healed and whole in Jesus' name. Nothing missing, nothing broken in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know what you're doing. You know what you're imparting. Maybe we don't, but He does. And it's something y'all need and it's something I need. Ha-ha. And we're going to shine. Say, I'm a shiner.
I'm a shiner.
Ah, I'm a shiner. Y'all are shiners. Woo! Here we go. Here we go. Y'all's very next step is going to be shining more than ever before in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Glory to God. Corey, Pastor Corey, go on. Thank y'all. Thank you, guys.
Everybody, pray after me. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart and saving me. When I leave this earth, I'm coming to heaven and not hell, because Jesus is my Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. With no one looking around, just real fast, if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time and you gave your life to Jesus, you didn't know what would happen to you if you left this earth. You didn't know if you'd go to heaven or hell, but you just prayed that prayer. If you just did that, when I say three, get your hand up. Just let me see it. Put it right back down. Ready? One, with every bit of boldness. Two, three, go. Thank you. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Thank you. Amen. Glory be to God. Look at me. Listen to me. I know we're done. These are the services that you better get used to. Okay, here's why. Here's why being a little raised Southern Baptist boy and then got tampered with years ago, I was like, what just happened? That's called the power of God. And people received from the Lord. And you come every week expecting God to move, you'll start seeing the dead in Christ raised. You'll start seeing people arising. You'll start seeing people healed miraculously. We used to see it back then. You know why we don't? Because we haven't believed. And it's time in these days that we start seeing the power of God show up. And He did today. Thank you. Thank you. I'm telling you, down in deep Mexico, people are still being raised from the dead. And we're like, God, He can heal people? If He created you, He can heal you. Amen. Thank you for being here. I'm not going to keep us any longer. And thank you that people didn't start looking at their watch. Dallas has not been winning anyway. Thank you so much for being here. The obedience of in a cowboy church, I was telling them that when you have one of everybody, then you start teaching about the baptism, the Holy, that tongue stuff. I mean, it's like we'd never seen stuff like that before when we was growing up until 20 or 25 years ago. And wow, I didn't know that was all in the Bible. I'm telling you, this is the power that God's needing in these last days. So you arise. You arise. Amen. This bucket right here, I want to bless this man of God. And that's how we do it. Everything that comes in here, it's going to go straight to him. I've never agreed with looking at it, counting it. I don't care. This should go to him. So everything that y'all put in this bucket, I want to bless Chip and his ministry. Ministry name, if you write a check, will be Champions for Christ. And we're just going to send him back to Oklahoma blessed. And so I want y'all, as we dismiss, just to come. Chip Brim? Okay, do Chip Brim. And everything that comes in, we're just going to bless him with. Amen? Stand to your feet and we'll be dismissed. Thank you again for coming. We have Bible study on Tuesday night. That's a great time you go, wow, we saw some stuff. What does that mean? That's where you get taught the Word of God. Amen? I was raised on this kind of stuff, man. So I'm loving it. You'll start seeing more.